Amen. You can be seated. And good morning. So good to see you all this morning. And yes, I want to follow Miss Jessica and extend a special welcome to all of the kids in the room. Kids, if I haven't had a chance to meet you before, my name is Pastor Ryan, and I invite your parents to do this every week, and maybe you'll be the impetus if they haven't ever come forward. If I don't know you, you don't know me, I'll be right down front. I'd love to just meet you and say hello, get to know your name, because I don't get to see you every week, but we're so glad that you are here. And guests, if you're here with us for the first time, we're so thankful that you join us this Sunday morning to worship Jesus. We are finishing our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, and so I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to wrap this up. If you have not been with us through our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, I'd encourage you, wherever you find a podcast, you can find our sermons. You can also go to our website and find those. And perhaps sometime this summer, you can just sort of catch up on the sermon series before us as we're wrapping that up today. Kids, I want you to know, or parents, I want you to know, don't stress out about your kids being with you. I'm familiar with the noise and comfortable with it, and so we'll carry on. If for whatever reason you just feel like I need to take a break, you can go outside either way. You won't be upsetting me at all, so just wanted you to know that. As we come to the closing words of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul has written this letter to a real place, a real city, the people of Corinth, who he is, as he's writing this letter, he has called the church to live a life of holiness in a world that is constantly trying to pull them away from that. Obviously, the city of Corinth was a very worldly place. It was a populous place. The economic situation, it was growing in prosperity. And so there was many, many distractions. Then you layer on all of the spiritual things, the theological questions and challenges that they faced. And so Paul writes this letter to call this church to a life of holiness and being set apart. And as he closes this letter, he is continuing to do so, and he's also reminding us and reminding the church of the blessing that they get to enjoy because they are a church, that the people have been brought together. And through this final closing, sometimes we read these letters and we'll quickly skip over that last few verses, right? We're like, this doesn't have anything for me. The same way we sometimes skip over those first few verses where he's introducing himself. But as we look at this final section, there's something powerful in this text for us. It teaches us that the gospel does something in us as people. It changes us. It breaks down barriers. It gives us a purpose to live for, and it binds our hearts together in a way that nothing else in the world can do. This is what we'll see as we read the last portion of chapter 16. And so, if you're able, I invite you to stand out of reverence for God's word. Kids, this is what we do every Sunday morning. We stand as I read the passage before us, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 12 through 24. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they had devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refresh my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I write this greeting with my own hand. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. As you're taking your seats, I do want to highlight just one thing that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on in the rest of the message, but you'll see that I know some, as we greet one another, there's a bit of anxiety, and I get that, personality types being different. Just know that we have dialed it back from greeting one another with a holy kiss at City Church. And so we have tried to acknowledge you in some way and thought of you in that sense. But what we see again is as we read this, you heard all sorts of names. And I recognize more than likely you didn't know any of those names before, or maybe some might have been familiar. You might have remembered Apollos, but these other names have not been a part of this letter. But what this shows us as we see this list of people that Paul is acknowledging as he closes his letter to these people he loves is we see that the gospel breaks barriers. Look, he references Timothy, Apollos, Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus, Priscilla, Aquila. He references these people, and they have a diversity of backgrounds. They come from all different places. Timothy was a young Jewish man. He was actually of mixed Jewish and Greek heritage. Apollos, the educated Jewish scholar from Alexandria, had the intellectual capacity and capabilities of eloquence that he preached there in Corinth. Stephanas, he was the first convert, he says, there in the city of Corinth. Fortunatus, more than likely a freed Roman slave. Achaicus, a Greek believer from the city of Corinth. And of course, Aquila and Prissa, these Greek believers, Jewish tent makers. And Priscilla, more than likely from the high Roman society. And look at these people. Paul is referring to them and commending the church to show them honor. And he's telling us, look at the diversity of background that the gospel has broken down those barriers that would cause these people to divide and united them together on mission. And united them together in such a way that they should be honored and thought highly of. This is what the gospel does. See, so often when we think of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we might think first or most prominently about our salvation, which of course, the gospel is the message of what Christ has done for us, his death on the cross for our sins, his burial, showing that he was truly dead, rising on the third day, victorious over sin and death. That is the announcement of what Christ has done. But the effects and the implication of the gospel reaches far out from that place into all areas of our lives. And one of the things that we see tangibly in the local church that Paul is commending here is it tears down every barrier that would exist. Look in this room. I invite you, literally, turn your head to the left and to the right. There are people that you just saw, that you looked at. You may know them a little bit. You might not know them. But look at the power of the gospel in this room, uniting hearts together under the banner of Christ. Uniting people together that would otherwise have no interest in spending time with one another. We aren't all on the same sports team. I hear that every time I reference my sports teams. Some of you get that. Man, see, I mean, are we not laughing today? Jessica had a hard time. We just want you to know, the kids, there we go. Thank you, the kids. The kids are helping me out here. I needed the kids. You know, we have so many different backgrounds and stories in just this room. This is one of three services in this church from all different places united together. The barriers have been torn down. And this is fulfillment of the promise of Scripture, isn't it? There is now neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, but we are one in Christ Jesus, Paul would write. In Ephesians chapter 2, he describes what God does and the power of the gospel at work in real people, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh, broken down in what he did on the cross for us, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself, creating in himself Jesus, one new man in the place of two, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. The gospel breaks barriers. This is what it does, and it tears down these walls. That's just within our local church. And when you expand that to other partners, Resurrection Church that we had the joy of sending out from us 2 years ago to plant in Anna, Family Church in Van Alstine just last year, our partners and dear friends down in Midlothian, Stonegate Church, Pastor Ronald Kogo, Cross Point Bible Church from Nakuru, Kenya, who's preached here and I've preached there, all over the world. The dividing walls of hostility have been torn down. This is what the gospel does. The gospel breaks barriers and it unites us together. Everywhere you look, you will see people in the culture, in the world, camping up under different names, different banners, different things that would align them. And what the gospel does is it tears down all those things and says, we are a new people in Christ. And what a beautiful thing that is. This is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. The gospel breaks barriers, and the gospel also gives us our purpose. Kids, Bible challenge, you want to look for that phrase. The gospel is our purpose. A few decades ago, some of you will have this book on your shelf. There's a very popular book, The Purpose-Driven Life. One of the best-selling books in the world, sold millions upon millions of copies all over the world, translated into many, many different languages. Why? Because every single person, at one point or another, asked the question, why am I here? Some of your kids are asking that of you right now. Why am I here? What is my life actually for? We ask these big questions. And of course, we chase purpose through careers, through success, relationships, politics, hobbies, achievements, self-expression, all sorts of ways. But underneath all of those chasings, all of the things that we run after, there's this deep ache in our souls to understand that our lives matter. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul gives us, he gives the church a purpose statement. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And sisters, I want you to know that word is written to the church, not just to men. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. What is Paul saying here? How is this a purpose statement for the church? He's reminding them that they need to stay awake spiritually. Clearly, there's been so many things that have pulled them away and distracted them from the gospel, crept into the church. Do you remember chapter 14 and all the crazy things that were happening in the church that they were saying, we need to correct and fix? The church had gotten astray, and so as his closing words, be spiritually awake and mindful of what is happening in your midst. Stand firm in the gospel. Don't drift and find yourself sort of being torn by all the winds of culture in the world around you. Live courageously. Endure faithfully. This is the calling of the church, the purpose that Paul gives us. I can imagine Paul, his love for these people, not knowing if he'd get another chance to see them, not knowing if he'd get a chance to write another letter to them. He wants in this closing section to remind them of this purpose. In other words, what he's calling us to is to live out what you profess to believe. Live it out. Do what you say you believe. Live in accordance with that. The gospel is where you are justified. Your standing before God is not in what you can accomplish, but in what Christ has accomplished for you. And so stand firm in that and live that out. Stop chasing after all the ways of the world. The gospel, again, is not merely just a message that teaches us where our salvation comes from. It is the beginning, but it gives us a mission that shapes our entire lives. Brothers and sisters, our purpose is not in self-fulfillment, not in comfort, not in building our own kingdom. Our purpose is Christ, his gospel message, and living that out, proclaiming that. And as ordinary people, which we all are, we are invited into the mission of God, given this eternal purpose. And so you don't have to invent it. You don't even have to find it. It's being told to you in Scripture. Live for Christ and make him known. We've used a word around here for a little bit now. Salt. Kids, can you say salt with me? There we go. They're still paying attention. Parents, you're half asleep right now and your kids are paying attention. No. Salt. Seek Jesus. Add one more. Loosen your grip. Take your place. This is how we practice this. Seeking Jesus every day. Spending time committed to seeking the Lord. Add one more to your table, to your place. Tomorrow, we celebrate Memorial Day, which we should pause and just give thanks. We are free to worship today because men and women have died for that freedom, have given their life to that mission. And so as we gather together, remembering the mission that we've all been given as Christians, to add others to our table. My wife is out of town this weekend, and she's visiting her father who had surgery, and he's recovering, and so she went to visit him, and so I'm alone, and I'm so thankful that some friends reached out acknowledging my plight, did not want me to survive on Ritz crackers and Oreos last night. And so they invited me over for dinner, gave me a meal, took care of me. I was so grateful for that. They added one more to their table. They didn't need to do that. Loosening your grip, giving your life away in generous giving. Yes, to the kingdom, to the church, but also to others around you. How can you do that? Taking your place to serve. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but yes, text butter to 75709. Find your place to serve this summer. This is how we live this out. The gospel is our purpose. This is how we're called to live. If you want to know, what am I supposed to do with my life? Let me invite you to consider these words from Paul. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Go and do that, living out for Christ. Finally, the gospel binds us together. This great diversity of people are brought together through the power of the gospel, given purpose to live on mission for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus' fame, and our hearts are knit together, bound together in a miraculous way. I'm going to tell you about a man named John Fawcett. You've never heard of him before. He was a poor Baptist preacher in the 18th century in England. And Pastor Fawcett served this small rural church on the countryside of England for many, many years. And after serving there faithfully for many years, a larger, prestigious church in the heart of London called him and said, "We'd like you to serve as our pastor." And after some time, he accepted that calling, made his plans for he and his family to depart the rural countryside and head to London to the prestigious church, this place of service. On their last Sunday, he preached his farewell message. They packed their wagons, gathered everything up, and as they're preparing to depart, the congregation came and surrounded his family and through tears begged him to stay. And so Fawcett and his wife, moved by the depth of their love, unpacked everything they had, turned down the prestigious place of ministry in the heart of London, and committed their lives to staying there in the rural countryside of England. And in response to that moment, the only reason that we still know his name, it would have been lost to history, is he wrote a hymn that we still sing to this day. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts together in Christian love. He was moved by the binding of their hearts, the unity that they had experienced together. Their hearts had been knitted together in such a way that he could not leave them. He couldn't depart from that place. This is what Paul is describing here in 1 Corinthians 16, a gospel that doesn't merely make us friendly towards one another, but binds our hearts together in a supernatural way that we cannot leave. We cannot give up on one another. We cannot forsake the heart of the mission. And of course, we see this in verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. Yes, echoing the great commandment, love for Christ, love for God, but also love for one another. We're called to love God and love others as ourselves. This is how we are knit together. He closes verse 23. The grace of the Lord be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. It is because we are in Christ together that our hearts are knit together in a supernatural way. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, I've used this book twice in the last 2 weeks. You might want to read it this summer. He said this, Christian brotherhood is not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate. We get to participate in what God does through the power of the gospel as our hearts are knit together, bound together in love. We don't have to fight for that. We don't have to strive for it. We don't have to figure out how to make it work. Because of the gospel, our hearts are bound together as one. And we get to participate in that. We get to enjoy that. Everything we do is done out of our love for Christ and therefore our love for one another. And this mission that we're on, this purpose that we've been given, guess what? The reason that Paul reminds them to love one another and his love for them in Christ is that's what it requires. If we're going to be faithful to what God has called us to do, it's going to require that we have a deep love for one another, that we practice this. And so ask yourself, how am I practicing and living out what the gospel has done in us? As my heart has been bound together with other believers in this place known as City Church. As we live together on mission in our neighborhoods, opening up our doors, inviting others in. Who have you invited over to dinner lately? Guess what? You got time. I don't think you're working, most of us, tomorrow. Invite someone over. Open up your home. Who have you prayed for, reached out to? How can we diligently remember our brothers and sisters in Christ and remember the unity and how we are knit together in love? So, as we close this book, let us praise God for how the gospel has torn down the barriers that have allowed us to unite together. Let us praise God for the mission that he's given us. Let us praise God for the bonds of unity, the deep love that we enjoy together, that push us forward on mission. Remember what the gospel has done for you, and then remember what the gospel is doing in you and in us together. And let us live that out. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you as I look upon this room, and then I think about outside of this room, the other services that we have in this place. Beyond that, the churches that we've been able to plant. Beyond that, the partners that we've supported as they've planted churches and taken the gospel all around the world. How you have torn down the barriers that would exist if we just looked at one another through human eyes. Your gospel at work in us. I thank you for the purpose you've given each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, I pray now that there would not be any one of us, from youngest to oldest, who would doubt that the gospel has given us a purpose, a mission to live for. So would you just give us attentiveness to that right now, Lord? Help us to see that. Would you stir up more of that in us, a desire to live in accordance with what we believe, to live out the gospel in our communities, in our families, and beyond. And Lord, we thank you for the deep love that we enjoy in this place. I'm so thankful as I look out on this congregation for the love that I have received, my family has received. I pray that we would continue to faithfully and diligently pursue one another. Thank you for how you have bound our hearts together in love. And we ask for you to do more of that because we know that's what fuels our mission. We worship you and we give you thanks, Jesus. We pray all these things in your mighty name. Amen. Let's stand.
Amen. Well, we sang this song last week over our seniors as they graduated. And with everybody in the room today, we're going to sing it again and be able to bless one another in the name of the Lord. Here we go. Oh, taste and see
that the Lord is good. Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. You say.